Blog Talk Radio.
Behold!
Good morning. Good morning. Daniel, can you hear me now, sir? Are you there?
Oh, I am. I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay. What a strange deal. I am so sorry. We had such a tremendous lead, and I think the devil got afraid. And so he tried to hijack the broadcast. But we were just were you able to hear that Judy Jacobs song about Behold, He Comes?
Yes. Only a small portion of it, though. And then it just went to silence.
It just went to silence. Yeah, I heard somebody do it a little doo-doo-doo, so I'm not really sure what happened. I tried to call back in, so I'm doing this from my phone right now, which is fine. And, well, how are you today?
I'm very well. It's great to be back on the air with you.
Well, we're glad to have you, and we were just talking that beautiful song by Judy Jacobs about the days of Elijah, and I was thinking how the Lord will return on a white horse. That's what the Word of God says. He's bringing the armies of heaven with him, and the saints of God on planet Earth need to lift up their heads, for their redemption draws nigh, and we need to be encouraged and do what we can to work this out. And we're in these 40 days of awe, or the 40 days of repentance, as they call it. We're moving towards Rosh Hashanah, those 10 days of inward introspection and examination, which leads us up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. And I know you're excited about that. I'm excited about that. There's a lot going on. And I thought it was interesting, Daniel, that right now Judge Kavanaugh is before the Senate having his hearing. You talk about being on the bench and being examined. Wow.
Goodness me. Well, I don't think we've ever seen such a circus in the Senate before. I mean, the amount of times, I mean, they interjected, the Democrats interjected over 60 times. I mean, they are way over the top, but I think it's going to backfire. I think it really will open a lot of people's eyes just when they see the juvenile antics that the Democrats are employing to derail the confirmation. And I think a lot of people will just see how petty it is and will think, I don't want to have these people in government. I'm voting Republican. So I think I'm hoping that it'll actually backfire on them.
Well, I think a lot of people are hoping that. And, you know, it's such a huge moment, because if this man is a righteous man and he has been brought to the bench, so to speak, and will overturn Roe versus Wade and perhaps some other laws that were legislated into our society, my God, that is an extremely provocative move. And you just wonder how far it will go. And will the left keep silent and allow this transformation, just like the right basically stayed quiet while all these evil laws were being promoted into society? Everybody just kind of stood still and took it, and that's all there was to it. But you just wonder, the left seems to be a little bit more aggressive about these things.
Yeah, the mask has slipped. The mask has slipped off, and there's no longer any civility at all. I mean, this is open warfare to the left. They will scratch and throw sand in the eyes and do every dirty trick in the book because they realize what's at stake. And, you know, one of the things that's so ridiculous to me, as it is probably with you too, is when you see all of those activists wearing those red gowns from that dystopian filler TV series, A Handmaid's Tale. And the reason why they're wearing those red gowns with the headdress is because they're trying to imply that if abortion was ever criminalized, that it will be like men are ordering women how to use, you know, to use their bodies and all this kind of ridiculous nonsense. But again, I'm hoping that it'll all go against them. When they see how petty their arguments are, when they see how hollow they are, then I'm hoping it we'll see a red wave come November in the midterms.
Okay, that's the political front. But you know, the satanic wave of violence and the beat of the demonic is so strong around the world right now, and it seems to be lining
it
up
is.
With some real Bible prophecy. Speak into that.
Yeah, it is. And on a spiritual front, we're seeing like the left are just becoming more and more unhinged, more and more. And as I said before, like the mask is slipping off, they're becoming less civil and becoming more and more aggressive and more violent. So this is not just confined to the United States. I mean, this is also what we're seeing happening throughout Europe. And this is also what we're seeing happening here in Australia. You know, for example, a mate of mine who was actually sponsoring his name's Dave Pello, but he was one of the organizers in bringing out Stefan Molyneux and Lauren Southern to come to their speaking tour to Australia. And when they went to Melbourne, and goodness me, you Americans need to understand that Melbourne and Victoria is like the bastion of the left. It's like, it really is kind of like the Los Angeles kind of leftism. And what happened was is that they went down there to speak at their venue, and what happened was, well, all these Marxists activists turned up shouting and screaming and causing a ruckus, and so the riot police had to step in, and so what happened, well, this Victorian government basically put the bill for the police presence on not the protesters, but onto the conference organizers. They put it onto my friend Dave Pello and said,
wow,
because you brought these people out here and because it caused all these protests, you have to foot the bill. You have to pay for the police presence.
Amazing.
Crazy.
That, you know, that,
yeah.
That is amazing.
And this
that's
is what we're seeing happening more and
right.
more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of an insane world like that. Let me just shift, because we're going to see that's persecution, unrighteousness. It's frustrating. It's a twisted, perverse kind of justice. And that's the kind of the mantra in the world today. But just recently, Daniel, you were interviewed by CBN. And CBN has a very dear place in our hearts. Paul Petit was a newscaster with CBN for years. We used to use the Founders Inn years ago to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And just recently, you were interviewed on CBN. How did that happen, and what did you talk about?
Well, it was all through a mutual friend named Bill Millenberg. Bill Millenberg is a friend of mine who is from Melbourne. And I actually flew Bill Millenberg up to speak at one of my seminars about 2 years ago. And so Bill and I have been friends. And so basically CBN got in contact with Bill and they said, listen, we need an expert who can talk on things to do with Israel. And Bill recommended myself. So the CBN correspondent, got in contact with me and said, listen, could we do an interview with you? I said, fine, no problem. And so she's a lovely lady. Her name's Lucille. And she also asked if I knew of anybody else who would be good for an interview. And I recommended my friend, Dr. Reg Zaruddin. He's a Pakistani man. And he was actually, this is 12 years ago now, when he was actually doing some medical work in Afghanistan, he was kidnapped by the Taliban, and he was kidnapped by them for 25 days, and he was absolutely certain that they were going to kill him. But the Lord miraculously intervened, and he lived to tell the tale. So I said to Lucille, I said, listen, you have to interview my friend, Dr. Reg Zaruddin. Make sure you get in contact with him, because he will be fantastic for CBN. And so, yeah, so Dr. Reg and myself, we met up at Dr. Reg's church down in Concord in Sydney, and we did the interviews down there. So goodness me, I mean, I thought, initially I thought that I would be answering questions in regard to the Palestinian Authority's pay-per-slay program, in which they actually pay terrorists to kill Jews. But it turned out a lot more than that. In fact, I ended up talking from not just the Palestinian pay-per-slay program, but also talked a lot of other different things to do with Israel. I talked a lot of things to do with Islam, a lot to do with eschatology and the end times, and a lot to do with the culture wars. So it was a very wide-ranging interview, and it actually went for a long time. I think it went for about over an hour. So we talked about a whole bunch of different stuff. So they've got a lot of different material that they can choose from. But I just got to say, Pastor Vincent, I was absolutely humbled by the Lord and just in awe of his grace and his kindness towards me.
Well, on the heels of that, it should be noted that you just came off of a 30-day fast, a 40-day fast?
40.
And did this interview happen after the 40 days?
It did. In fact, it was 2 days. Two days after I broke my fast.
Okay, so 40 days of fasting in the days of repentance. God opens the door to CBN, which is a global world ministry, and you're there sharing your experiences, your understanding, your heart. And they have offered you another interview. Is that correct at some point in the future?
Well, yes. Well, Lucille said to me, she said, we will definitely have to do this again. We'll definitely have to get you on here again. So that was very, very encouraging. So I've just been storing these things in my heart on the way home in the train and just thanking the Lord for what he's done for me.
Amen. So there's been a real rise, at least here in the news media. There's a stirring once again about the rise of ISIS. Are we beginning to see a reactivation of something that seemed to just go underground and disappeared a while back ago? Or is it just the news media that's making it appear and disappear?
Well, there are some people who are saying that ISIS has been obliterated. Others are saying, you know, that that there are most of them have fled across the Turkey border into Turkey. I would actually have to agree with the latter. I don't believe that ISIS are completely obliterated. I believe many of their senior leaders have basically just crossed the border. A lot of them too, and this is very, very concerning, have actually fled to Europe. That's a major concern. In fact, about 2 weeks ago, there was a Yazidi woman who had actually been held captive by Islamic State. And while she was on the streets in Germany, she recognized her captor in the streets, in a street in Germany.
Wow.
So so ISIS have basically dispersed, but all it will take, Pastor Vincent, would be for another power vacuum, and ISIS could really be formed back together once again. I mean, they could easily come back together again, although all they really need is the power vacuum for that to happen.
Hey, let's revisit a situation that was going on in Australia sometime several weeks ago, when you guys had a terrible drought and the cattle were dying, the farmers were committing suicide. What's going on with that issue right now?
Well, it's still really bad. What has happened since then is that there's been a greater mobilization of aid and support. So that's good. I mean, I think it's more dire. It's pretty dire in South Australia, where a lot of the farmers have basically run out of hay bales, full stop. I mean, they've had to rush hay bales interstate into South Australia for the farmers to be able to feed their livestock. But it's still fairly dire. And I mean, we had some decent rain last week and early into this week, but it's still not good. We're still not out of the woods yet.
Okay. And you know, it's so funny. There's, you know, I was down in when Hurricane Andrew hit in Florida back in 1992. I went down there as a United Christian Charity representative to do some work and help put plastic over, you know, pro-life areas or pregnant women homes, or we were just working as a team, and I couldn't believe the number of people that were selling products at high prices. You know, you talk about opportunity in the midst of a crisis, and there are so many people today, they're going, oh wow, the price of beef is really going to go down now because all that cattle that's dying, they've got to get that beef on the market. Are you hearing anything like that?
Look, I think there definitely is a bunch of people who would try and take advantage of this situation. I haven't really been watching the news per se to see whether that has been apparent. But again, it's still pretty dire. But spiritually speaking, I mean, this is all part of the Lord trying to get Australia's attention. You know, I mean, God's trying to say, you know, are you the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, or are you chasing after your own idols? You know, because if you're chasing after your worthless idols, you will become worthless yourselves. And so this is basically where Australia is at. And I'm really concerned about the next stage. If Australia still hardens her heart and refuses to repent, I mean, as we've seen with ancient Israel, is that if the drought doesn't get the attention, then the foreign invaders will, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay, so next on our list, I want to talk about today. There's, I guess, from what I've heard and I've seen a little bit of the imagery, is that Japan just got really devastated by a massive typhoon. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't. Oh, actually, I did see something. I saw a massive wave. But excuse me, that's to the extent of it. But isn't it interesting, you know, like how when we read in Luke where it says that men's hearts will grow faint from the roaring and the tossing of the waves?
Well, that's exactly where I'm going, is these events that are going on around the world, from drought to famine to, you know, I think a lot of people feel pretty secure financially right now, but, you know, there's always that looming reality with a $21 trillion debt. You pull the linchpin and that thing can explode. And then you see these
yep.
massive hurricanes, typhoons, cyclones. There's been over 1,000 earthquakes around the Yellowstone super volcano area. When we go on down the list, and it's not just an advocation of all this bad news, it is a blowing of the trumpet of what the Lord said would be prior to certain events unfolding in our lifetime. And I know that these are all beginning of sorrow events, wars and rumors of wars, et cetera, et cetera. And I know that the labor pains are increasing. I know that they are accelerating. I know that we're marching towards a moment wherein everything will change. And this week, Daniel, one of the things that really captured my mind, it started last Sunday on a radio broadcast. I believe the Holy Spirit just prompted some words about a decapitation strike. And so I've been looking at what it means to have a decapitation. And I was looking at the federal government of the United States. It's so interesting. On Sunday, I was thinking, all right, and I said it. I said, there's going, you know, what would this country do if the government, the head of this country, were decapitated? And I left the program with that. And now I'm watching the Kavanaugh hearings that are going on to get him voted into that office. That would be a real decapitation of the Supreme Court's power and ability to pass evil laws anymore. But I'm not so sure that's the decapitation event that is being revealed to my heart. And I know it's a military strategy. I know America is the greatest nation in the world with the most sophisticated weapons. But if you sin too long against God and refuse to repent, God can use a lesser nation to take a big giant down, couldn't he?
Yes, we did. Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that. We saw a glimpse of that with what happened in the Vietnam War. I mean, America was humbled big time as at the end of that war. And by the way, it was the left. It wasn't the fact that it wasn't a war that the Viet Cong won. It was a war that the America lost. I mean, it was the left that basically sabotaged the war machine, the American war machine. They were the one. It was the left that basically poisoned the media and poisoned the news that was coming through to the American people. And I mean, America could have won that war if it wasn't for the fact that the left was sabotaging it. But we can see the same thing. I mean, the left are becoming so strong at the moment. And which is a major worry, because if there is another military involvement, the left could really could sabotage the war effort, which is a major concern.
Daniel, the word of God in the book of Revelation to the seven churches is a continual theme of calling the church to repentance. Except for the church at Philadelphia, all the churches were called to repentance. And then you see throughout the book of Revelation a call to the nations of the earth that repented not of their evil deeds. And so all these judgments are designed by Yahweh, God, to bring the nations to repentance. And yet the church finds itself oftentimes right in the middle. And, you know, they're not really alive. They're not really dead. They're not hot. They're not cold. You know, they're doing works, but they're not completed in their character. And we are in a moment of real repentance where the Spirit of God, the heavens are opening. Many are experiencing a saturation of the Holy Spirit that is loosening up the soil in their hearts so that those bitter roots could be plucked out and new seeds could be planted that are more kingdom oriented. And yet many are just kind of stable right in the middle What does it mean to you that how is God addressing the ecclesia today, the church today, in the realm of calling it to repentance, where people are saying, well, I'm not really doing anything bad. I'm not smoking. I'm not drinking. I'm not cussing, lying. You know, I'm not doing all this. But again, they're not really activated. There's something missing. There's an element that God's looking for in the ecclesia. What do you perceive it to be?
Well, I think we're coming in today into days now, Pastor Vincent, where it would be extremely dangerous for churches to be lukewarm. If churches are lukewarm, they are in a very precarious position, because right now the Holy Spirit says to him to him whom the Spirit, sorry, I've got tired brain, to him whom the Spirit, help me, Pastor Vincent. He whom the Spirit says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Yes.
you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, brother.
Yeah. To him who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Churches, you got it. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. And so I think God is absolutely speaking to the churches. Whether those churches actually listen or not is another thing altogether. And this is why it's absolutely extremely dangerous for churches that are lukewarm, that aren't listening, that aren't paying attention. They've got too much noise going on and haven't stilled themselves, quietened themselves to be able to hear God's voice and to follow his leading. It's absolutely paramount that churches cleave to the Lord in these days, because we are approaching twilight. We are approaching twilight, and soon, as Jesus said, work while you have daylight, because night is coming when no man can work. So I think we've got a window of opportunity in which we can do what we can in sowing the seeds of the gospel and shine bright for Jesus. And here's the thing, Pastor Vincent, as it gets darker, and it is getting darker, there's absolutely no question about that. And it's not that the church has become, the church basically has stayed, but it's the culture around it that has capitulated into degeneracy, that has capitulated into moral depravity. And as a result of that, great darkness. But here's the good news is that whenever great darkness comes about, the light shines so much more brighter, and it stands out. See, if you're living for righteousness, if a church is shining bright for Jesus, then it's going to shine even more brighter in the darkness. So, yeah.
For those who actually repent, and I'm looking at you, and you were saying it as I was reading it in Micah chapter 3, and it's concerning the leaders of the nation, and whether you want to call them governmental leaders in a U.S. Government, or whether you want to call them the leaders of the ecclesia, you know, those that are, you know, are shepherds in the flock of God under the great shepherd. And it says in verse 1, I said, listen, you leaders of Israel, you are supposed to know right from wrong. And I would imagine God would be talking to America as a Christian nation as well. He said, you're supposed to know right from wrong, but you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. And that's what we've seen over the last 40 to 50 years. You skin my people alive and tear the flesh from their bones. You eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin, and break their bones. You chop them up like meat for the cooking pot. Then you beg the Lord for help in times of trouble. Do you really expect him to answer? After all the evil you have done, he won't even look at you. This is what the Lord says. You false prophets are leading my people astray. You promise peace for those who give you food, but you declare war on those who refuse to feed you. Now the night will close around you, cutting off all your visions. Darkness will cover you, putting an end to your predictions. The sun will set for you, prophets, and your day will come to an end. Then you seers will be put to shame, and your fortune tellers will be disgraced, and you will cover your faces because there is no answer from God. So here we have a situation where for 50 years in our country, even beyond really, we have seen people that are in positions of power that should know better but have done what is extremely evil. And we're in this moment, and it is a time of darkness upon the leaders. And now we're talking about a decapitation event from the highest echelons of our government. I think it's a very concerning time, and people should consider what they will do if, in the event, some kind of military strategic strike actually takes out the head of government. What would our country look like, Daniel?
Oh, gosh. I mean, if something happens like that, I mean, it could go any which direction. I mean, it could go any which direction. I mean, certainly martial law will be implemented. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. The left really love the idea of martial law because it basically is a time in which a massive transfer of power goes across to the government. Like, massive centralized power goes into the hands of the government under martial law. And so I think they kind of want a crisis. They want an excuse in which they can exert maximum power. And so I think the left are baying for blood at the moment. I mean, they are so incensed. I mean, it's been 2 years, and they still haven't gotten over the fact that Trump won the election. But they are baying for blood. They are absolutely vehement and raging, and they would love nothing more than to get their just revenge over the people who voted in Trump. I mean, that's what they want. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You know, at the moment, they are demonizing us. They are demonizing us at every possible turn, at every possible opportunity. But there will be a transition where they will go from demonizing us to dehumanizing us. You know, because they can't really do us away unless they must first dehumanize us. And this is what we're beginning to see in different quarters of the left, where the left are basically saying that Trump voters are basically they're not human. They are worth less than human, and because no one could be that stupid to vote for Trump. And, you know, so we're starting to see murmurs of this. Obviously not in the big cities, but outside of the cities. Yeah, so we're starting to see more and more murmurs and rumors, and it's yeah, it's a bit of a concern.
Yeah, you're not going to find that in Northwest Arkansas, man. Those leftists, if you will, are still in the closet trying to get their plots and plans together. It's a very supportive part of the country right here. Now, let's just shift for just a moment. The Feast of Tabernacles is coming up. And, Daniel, I have a very simple belief. It's a childlike belief. It really is. And it's not easy, but I do believe that God has a purpose for gathering his people together for the Feast of Tabernacles. And I've been going over this, that in Genesis 1:14, God put the sun, moon, and stars that actually decreed and declared his high holy days. It was in the stars and the sun and the moon before man was ever on the earth. And I believe the wisdom of God is to gather God's people into the Feast of Tabernacles from Jerusalem, Israel, to all different places around the world. And there is where he begins to instruct those who honor him. He equips them. He empowers them. He resources them. He gives that spiritual oil to the wise virgins. How wise is it, you know, from your perspective as a Christian man, for God's people to gather together during the Feast of Tabernacles? Daniel, can you hear me? Okay, I'm pretty sure we're back on the air. I'm not sure what's going on here, but we've lost Daniel, and I don't know if my question came across or not. But I will continue to broadcast here, and let's see if we can get Daniel back on the air. So, yeah, it's been a tough day, technically speaking. So, Daniel, if you're back there, give me a call. I know he got cut off. Let's see if we can get him back on the air. And let's see if we're going through any loud and clear here. Kathy or Ken, can you hear us over there in South Dakota? Are we on the air?
Yes, you are now.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to use you as a sounding board here. Okay, I'm looking for Daniel to join us back on the air. We just got a little disrupted for just a moment, but I'm sure he'll be calling right back in. And the question I was asking once again is the wisdom of God at this time to gather his people together during the Feast of Tabernacles, and that this is a childlike faith of mine personally that I believe that God has from the beginning of time on the fourth day of creation set in motion a pattern for his high holy days. These are not the Jews' feasts. These are not the church's feasts. These are the Lord's feasts. And the wisdom of God to gather God's people together at this time. And I was listening to a broadcast of a gentleman that was referring to a second day of the Feast of Tabernacles this year, that the president would be introducing a peace treaty to Israel and the Palestinians. We'll see where that goes. But I do know that there is a mountain called Ararat that on the 17th day of the seventh month that the ark in Noah's day rested after the flood on the what we would call today the third day of that Feast of Tabernacles, and it rested on Ararat, which means the curse reversed, and it came to rest. And so I'm not sure where this is all going, but I know that we're also coming to the very end of a double jubilee that was for Israel, and there seems to be a tremendous amount of momentum that is in the world today about these things. And you know, it's just a strategic time. I really do believe it's a strategic time for God's people to gather together. And by the way, Daniel Seckham will be joining us from Australia. He will be making his way here. He's probably exhausted right now. We had him up and we're having just a little technical difficulties, but I'm sure that he's got a reserve that he's going to bring with him to the Feast of Tabernacles 2018 right here in Northwest Arkansas. And it's more than just a gathering. It's more than just a commercialized group of people coming together to do outward obeyance to the Lord. No, there's an inward strategic purpose and plan for the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that those who will find their way to the feast to honor the Lord and to be one of his invited guests will discover the intrinsic value of such a Feast of Tabernacles. And so make sure that you share with as many people as you can this reality, share with as many people as you can about coming out to the feast. And one more time, I'm going to ask the question here. I'm going to go to Pastor Michael or Carla. Are you guys hearing us on the air right now? Yeah. Hey, Michael, how are you? Hello? Okay, I'm not sure if Mike's
there. That's affirmative. Oh.
Okay. All right, so we're coming.
Yeah, Roger Wilco, yes.
All right, thanks, Carla. That's a Roger Wilco, and we'll take that Roger Wilco. So we've got another call coming in. Let's take this. Looks like Bill's calling in. Bill, good morning. Bless you. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing good, sir. We had a little technical blip. What's that?
How's Daniel doing today?
Daniel's doing great, but he got through our technical blip. He got knocked out. We haven't heard back from him yet.
Okay. Well, we're down here in Mississippi where the storm's fixing to come in, so we're trying to stay ahead of it. But anyway, I'll let you talk to Carmen. I've got to take care of some stuff here.
Okay. Mrs. Bill.
Yes.
Yes, Carmen, how are you today? Did you have something you wanted to share?
I was just listening to your program.
Okay.
And it's awesome.
All right, you guys are out of You guys are out on the road. God bless you. Stay safe out there and get out of the storm's path.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Well, at least we know that we're broadcasting through, and that's really important. I guess what we could do for the next 15 minutes, we've got an open line here. If there's something you'd like to share, I'm sorry we lost Daniel, but again, he'll be flying in just a couple of weeks to be one of our guest speakers at the Feast of Tabernacles. And as I was saying, the Feast of Tabernacles to me is a strategic moment in the economy of God for God's people to gather together and to find that fellowship that the Apostle John called us into in one of the epistles, where he said that our fellowship is with the Lord, with the saints of light. And I think that's important for all of us, because right now it's a confusing time out there. There are so many different voices. You know, just for a moment, think about this. So many different voices and things that we're hearing all the time from the news media, from the world. And this time, this Feast of Tabernacles truly is designed for God's people who go through those 10 days of awe from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, and then beyond that time receive that not guilty sentence through the blood of the Lamb. This is a clearing of the conscience. And then 4 days later, entering into the greatest celebration yet to be fulfilled in its entirety around the world, and something that will be participated in during the great millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ, according to Zechariah 14. So we are definitely cooperating with the Lord during his rehearsal seasons before the great wedding feast. But there's also a time where it's an ability, it's an opportunity for people to leave the world behind and to come up to the Lord, come up to Zion, so to speak, find that spiritual place where there can be a communing with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, there will be guest speakers. Yes, there will be many voices that will be speaking day and night. But if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're looking for an equipping, if you're looking for those resources, if you're a wise virgin saying, I need more oil, I want more oil, I cannot believe that the heavens are not widest as far as being open than during the Feast of the Lord. I believe they open a little bit in Passover, they open a little bit in Pentecost, but they're wide open during the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is the time where God supplies that oil to the wise virgins, because the nighttime is coming, the dark season is upon us, and we will have enough oil to keep our lights lit that we will not get lost in those very dark days. I find this to be a very important time. I know going to church is one thing, and I know that, you know, going to church and Bible study during the week and during those 52 weeks of the year is important, but I don't believe they're just like complementary to these major feasts, because God did not put in the sun, moon, and stars going to church. What he did exhibit in the heavens are the feast days, and then there is a Sabbath, and he does call us to gather together, but these feast days are important. Let's take a call coming in from Pastor Ken Wagner. Good morning, Pastor Ken. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Pastor. It is a good morning. Praise the Lord. You know, maybe I can begin to equate the festival and tabernacles to even our earthly functions and things that we do. But look at us on the time of our birthdays. Everybody wants to celebrate their birthday. What a great day. Thank God I was born. Here I am, and I'm living, and it's a joyful time, and you get other people to celebrate it with you, and it's a great time. And we look at our nation as well. Our nation on the 4th of July, the birthday of our nation, so to speak, on here. We set off fireworks. We all party. They have festivals all over the place on that one. Is God any different in a way? Because when he created the earth, he told us to keep these festivals, keep these times to him, to celebrate him, what he has done, what he is doing. And we need that remembrance to keep it in flow. He also said in the scriptures on here is that my people perish on here if they don't have the plan written down, a vision of what is going on and what is happening. And I really think that God, in a way, is saying, hey, help me celebrate my days. I want you to keep it in mind so you don't lose sight of what I have done and what I am doing with you. And I think that's a very good reason, even from that perspective, to celebrate the festivals of God, the things, the days that he has set apart for us to keep us in remembrance.
Amen. That is well said, and that really goes along with Zechariah 14. I mean, if you don't want rain, then don't go to the feast. If you want the plague, then don't go to the feast. And yet, if you want to celebrate the purposes of God and the kingdom of God, then explore and discover the greatness and the value of these feasts. I cannot overemphasize that God will send oil. He will send rain. He will send good things to his people. He will bless his people. And he has bastions and bastions and bastions of oil for his people who will come, who will have wisdom to recognize the value of the feast of the Lord. Not saying that we're going under the Old Testament, not saying if you don't go to the feast, you're not going to be saved by grace. I understand all that, but those who are saved by grace have wisdom to get the oil and to participate in the things that God created and ordained before man was ever on the earth. And I'm referring once again to the Moed in Genesis 1:14 on the fourth day of creation. So we definitely want to look at that. Daniel has come back on the line with us here. Daniel, you went bye-bye for a little bit. I am so sorry about that. How are you doing?
I'm back. My phone died. My phone just ran out of power. So I didn't realize
good.
It was so low on battery.
My apologies. I'm glad it was. That's okay. That is okay. We're just talking about the wisdom of the Feast of Tabernacles. I've got this belief, this childlike belief that the saints of God who have been saved by grace have been given wisdom to participate in the Lord's feast that have been revealed to us before the beginning of time in the fourth day of creation. God had this in mind, and that there is an opening. Now, you're coming here to Northwest Arkansas once again to be one of our guest speakers at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're excited about you coming. What is your heart telling you about the feast this year?
I have a lot of excitement in my spirit, especially in regard to what I believe that the Lord is going to impart. I believe that the Lord is going to draw closer to his heart, which will mean that the people there will fall in love with the things that God himself is in love with. So I believe that God is, there's going to be a drawing of the people with more of a love for the Jewish people, more of a love for the nation of Israel, more of a love for Zion, more of a love for the city of Jerusalem, more of a love for his plans and purposes for his people in these last days. But more than that, I think too that there's an eschatological aspect where God is going to give people such a curiosity in regard to the life to come, and especially in regard to the kingdom, the coming kingdom. That is really, really exciting, and there's a lot of exciting revelation to get a hold of in regard to the coming kingdom of our King when he reigns forever, forevermore. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great time of impartation, and I don't believe people will leave the same way they came.
I absolutely agree with that. And I was thinking while you were talking how the Feast of Tabernacles, everything belonged to Yahweh God before man was ever on the earth. Okay, we know that. But God gave to Israel the feasts. God shared with Israel the commandments. God shared with Israel his laws, his precepts, his values, his righteousness to declare what is right in a nation that would declare it to the ends of the earth. And so we who are celebrating these things today, we understand that they were given to Israel. We have entered into that covenant and received of these blessings, and we ought to be extremely thankful. Pray for the true Israeli people, and I'm going to get behind Israel, and I'm going to support Israel, the true Israel of God, not the Edomites, not the fake Jews that Jesus dealt with, but the true Israel of God. And we're going to bless them and appreciate and value what they have been given to share with the world. Particularly, we who are born again have this real blessing. And we are not into exclusion. We are into fulfillment theology, where everything between the Jew and the Gentile will become one new man in the earth. I am so excited about it. I'm excited about you being brought here and that God is sending you again by the Spirit. And I wanted to just kind of say my final comments, and I'll turn the rest of the program over to you for a few minutes. Just finishing up in Micah chapter 3 and beginning in verse 8. Here's what the spirit of God's children should be. But as for me, I am filled with power with the Spirit of the Lord. I am filled with justice and strength to boldly declare Israel's sin and rebellion, or Australia's or America's. We are to be filled with justice and strength to boldly declare the sins of our nations. Listen to me, you teachers of Israel. You hate justice and twist all that is right. You are building Jerusalem and the United States, right, on a foundation of murder and corruption. You rulers make decisions based on bribes, and it goes on. You prophets prophesy. You do it for a price. You prophesy. You will not prophesy unless you are paid, yet all of you claim to depend on the Lord. Well, Daniel, I believe that the ecclesia needs to be empowered with oil to declare the wisdom of God to the nations of the earth. And the good news is that our king is coming, and his kingdom is coming, and that's what we desire. We don't want to just keep living in a corrupt, dull world. We want the colorful kingdom of God to come and to vibrantly transform this world. And the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas.
Yeah, amen. I think there's a preparation season where we are transitioning into an end-time people of God, an end-time people of God. And there's a preparation phase in which God will be working on our hearts. He'll be working on our in regard to where our priorities lie. And I believe that God is just is going to position us. He's going to position us so when all these things unravel, we'll be perfectly positioned. You know, we won't be in a state of flux or state of flurry or a state of apprehension. We'll be in perfect peace because God has been working on us all those previous years, all those previous seasons in which he has preparing an end time people of God. So when everything does come to a head, we're already there. We're already there.
Well, amen. And Brother Daniel, you are already here, and we're going to see you and be able to touch you and listen to you and look into that happy face and see you in just a couple of weeks. And I'm just reminded, Daniel, that in the book of Genesis, that the ark rested on the 17th day of the seventh month. It was during the Feast of Tabernacles that the ark, it says the ark rested. And so it rested on the mountains of Ararat, and that name, Ararat, literally means the curse reversed. I'm excited. God's doing something. God bless you, my friend. We've kind of come to the end of our time, and I look forward to talking with you next Wednesday, and then we'll see you in just a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it, brother. Bless you.
Bless you. Get a good night's rest. I'm off right now. I'm going to be on Kerm Radio in just an hour, and I'll be interviewing Pastor Joe Sweet from Lancaster, California. Pastor Joe Sweet and I are going to have a conversation. He's a friend of Sundu Sundahar. He's a pastor that's having a revival through prayer at his ministry. I'm going to leave you with Judy Jacobs a little bit more. The days of Elijah. Be encouraged. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.